Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This episode is sponsored by NatureBox, where you can order great-tasting, healthy snacks right to your door. Snack smarter in the new year with healthy and delicious treats like French toast granola. Support this podcast to get 50% off your first order. Go to NatureBox.com and use promo code TMOS. That's NatureBox.com, promo code TMOS.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeOMaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey!
Charlie Sturang Stavelek!
Hey, guys!
Charlie!
Guys!
Charlie!
Guys!
Charlie!
Charlie!
You're doing a show on Monday. You already did your show. No, you're doing two shows.
No, Charlie.
It's Tuesday, Charlie.
It's Tuesday. No, it's Monday.
You jerk.
No, I don't get it. Come
Not
on
a
now.
Jerk.
But I'm here to see you out. I'm here to see you out.
Very kind of you.
You're not supposed to be here.
Well, we tried to leave.
What?
And then the district said, hey, on Tuesday, we're shutting down your entire city block.
That's right, Charlie.
Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense. What do you mean they're shutting down a whole city block?
They're turning off the power.
What?
They're turning off the power.
Why?
There is major construction across the street from the studio. So they're putting in a new transformer.
Those bastards!
Now, Charlie, do you like Transformers?
I do. It's my favorite movie. There's a Camaro that turns into a robot.
Now, I'm surprised.
Bumblebee.
I'm surprised that you're up here in D.C. to see us out, because weren't you in Florida helping Mike with the move?
I helped with the move, and then he sent me out, and he said, go away. We don't need you anymore. So I went down to the local Coast Guard station, and they wouldn't have any of me either.
Tell me about what happened to the Coast Guards, and why did you choose the Coast Guard?
I went down to the Coast Guard station. I knocked on the door. And I said to the guy,
yeah.
I said, I'm Charlie Sturang Stavelek. I've been all over the world, and I want to be in the Coast Guard. And he said, well, you got to go through the Coast Guard Academy, dummy. I said, don't you call me a dummy. I'll slap that grin right off of your face.
I didn't realize that you were going to join up. You're older than most people in the Coast Guard, Charlie.
Yeah, but I don't have time to go to the academy. I just wanted a job.
Yeah. Oh, you wanted a job. Well, you didn't have to actually
work
join
on,
up. You
I wanted to work on one of those big boats is what I wanted
A battleship
to do.
Or aircraft
yeah, big
carrier?
Big battleship. They call them Coast Guard Cuddles.
Oh, okay.
Now, what would you do on the boat?
Well, I'd man the ropes.
No, there's an engine, right?
Well, I don't think I could drive it. I don't think I could steer it, but I'd be on the deck, and I'd be like, Charlie, toss me that line. And I'm like, the bottom line is, boys.
Yes, Charlie.
That I would like to be in the Coast Guard. That's it. Pure and simple. That's what I'd like to do. So they said, no, you have to go through the academy. I said, all right, pound sand, suckers.
Oh, dear. Is there an age restriction? Because, Charlie, how old are you now?
There's an age restriction for doing this character.
You sound
That's
good.
That's for sure. Yeah.
Charlie, are you on antibiotics?
Yeah, Charlie's on antibiotics. Yeah, it'll
Sick
grow
Charlie.
Back though. Yeah. Well, I did what I do when I'm not working for Mr. O'Mara down here in Florida. I do my part-time job, which I think right now I'm going to have to make into my full-time job.
What job is that?
Going to get golf balls.
Oh, you work at the range.
No, I get golf balls out of ponds.
Oh, you're a diver.
Because I'm not afraid of the creepy crawlers and stuff that are in there.
Well, we got to watch out for one thing in particular though.
What's that?
Gators.
Alligators! No, they gotta watch out for me, pal.
Oh, look at you.
Do you wear a,
yeah,
do you wear a
that's
suit?
That's right.
What do you wear?
No, I just wear a swimming trunk.
Do you put the balls in your pocket?
I have a bag, a
oh,
net
okay.
that I carry. It's a big net, and I put the balls in the net. As a matter of fact, I got a whole bunch of Titleists if you want them.
Are they mostly nicked up? Or are they in good
Yeah, they're
shape?
A little dinged up. Some of them get a little brown. Some of them get a little old, you know, but some of them are brand new. I tell you, these old farts down here, they send their golf balls into the pond like nobody's business. It's craziness.
Do you dive for golf balls during the day or at nighttime?
At night.
Nighttime, you do.
Yeah, specifically at night. I use a flashlight. I have it in my teeth.
Oh, an underwater flashlight?
Yeah, I got it around here somewhere. I don't
oh,
know where
let's
it
see
is.
It, Charlie. I'd like to
yeah,
see it.
I don't know where it is. It's lying around somewhere. I thought I had it. Sorry.
What
Charlie.
What brand of ball gets you a real payday?
Oh, Titleist Pro V1X. Yeah, baby. Yeah, that is money time. That is money time. Not like those noodles. The noodle balls, cheap piece of crap. I don't get anything from that. Not at all.
You know what used to be really popular? Those orange golf balls.
Yeah, those are what the ladies use. The green ones and the orange. I mean, really, you use a ball that color, you're just a chick. Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Certainly not. A lot of good-looking chicks at the course, aren't there?
So the other day, I got bitten by a water moccasin, and my arm just swelled up like nobody's business. It swelled up just about as big as a dirigible.
It looks good now. What happened?
Well, why don't you ask me how I know the name Dirigible?
Oh, how do you know the name Dirigible?
I'm a student of World War II history.
I had no idea, Charlie.
Yes, I am. Yeah, absolutely. I'm confusing you guys.
When it
yes,
swelled
Oscar.
Up, did you use your arm to scoop up the balls?
No. When it swelled up after I got bitten by the water moccasin, I got out of the pond where I was getting the golf balls, and I popped it with a pin, just like it's a big old balloon.
God, Charlie.
And all, the poison came out.
Oh, God.
It was all poison?
Boo.
Oh, it was full of venom. It was full of venom. Venom and water and pus and everything. It was terrible.
I want to ask some thoughts about World War II, but before that, I have a callback to yesterday's
show. I'm a student
show.
Of World War II history.
Before we get to that, do you drink fluoridated water?
No.
Really? No fluoride in your water?
No.
Let's see your teeth.
No, what I use is I take the water from the golf balls where I get in the ponds, and I run it through some tea bags.
Oh, God.
Oh, really?
I tape tea bags all together, and then I run it through, and it's strange. It comes out clear. There are a few little pieces of, like, plant life and stuff like that.
Oh,
in
that's
there,
good
little
for
chunks,
you.
Algae and such and whatnot.
Back in World War II, why do you suppose the Germans used hydrogen instead of helium?
Because they were... effed. What? That's the real reason, Rob.
Okay.
Nobody thought that this crap is flammable. Right. And they said, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? You know what they're thinking about? Conquer, destroy, bomb. Conquer, destroy, bomb. They weren't thinking about the fact that, hey, what a pretty ship with the Nazi flag on it.
Exactly.
Boy, that's fantastic. And that's why the thing blew up.
What about Churchill?
It's always about the Hindenburg with you, isn't it?
You're the one who brought up dirigibles,
that's
Charles.
That's
I brought up World War II history. Yeah, dirigible. A rigid warship. What's that, Oscar?
What type of warship is your favorite warship?
In World War II?
Mm-hmm.
I got to go with the PT boat.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the PT boat. Used them in the South Pacific, the Americans did, to, you know, capture Japanese and whatnot.
Tell us the story of John F. Kennedy.
John F. Kennedy was the commander of PT-109 and whatnot, and he would be out on the Pacific Ocean, and one time he was out on a patrol boat, and they was made of wood and things, and so he got hit by the destroyer that was made in Japan, and the Japanese destroyer split his PT boat in two, and he rescued his entire crew by carving a message on a coconut and whatnot, and sending it over to the other island when they finally rescued him, you see.
Fascinating.
Yes, yeah. Apparently, John F. Kennedy was a hero before his day.
That's true. And then he would eventually become what, Charlie?
President of the United States.
Did you vote for him?
I did. It wasn't my, how do you know?
I was just guessing.
Yeah, because I was around back then.
Well,
know?
Sure. In 1960.
How old am I now, Rob?
Now you are. You will be 74 in December.
Yeah, you're around.
Well, I tell you, America is rich in history.
Oh, God.
Jesus. Do you think they favor history enough in the current curriculum of schools?
Not at all. Not by a long shot. Everybody talks about computers and math and engineering when they should be looking at our past. Because if we don't pay attention to the past, we are doomed to repeat it and whatnot.
Who taught you that?
Mr. Rollerson.
Who's that?
He's the man that used to take my temperature before class.
Oh, at the school. Now, was the school adjacent to the orphanage?
I don't know about that, but I sure know that it wasn't an oral thermometer.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. I tell you, this is just the beginning. Going around breaking street lamps. City property, mind you. Next thing you know, they'll be on motorcycles and wearing them leather jackets and zooming around. They'll take over the whole town, a reign of terror.
Barney, these are just boys you're talking about. They're only about 8 years old.
Yeah, well, today's 8-year-olds are tomorrow's teenagers. I say this calls for action, and now, nip it in the bud. First sign of youngsters going wrong, you got to nip it in the bud.
I'm going to have a talk with them. Now, what more you want me to do?
Well, just don't mollycoddle.
I won't.
You go read any book you want on the subject of child discipline, and you'll find that every one of them is in favor of bud nipping.
Take care of it.
Only one way to take care of it.
Nip it.
In the bud. I think it's only fair to warn you that if you keep on getting into trouble, it can only lead to one thing, incarceration. Now, I know none of you likes the idea of being incarcerated. The idea does scare you a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, and we don't even know what it means.
Well, to be incarcerated...
I know what it means. It's like when a doctor gives you a shot.
No, that's narculated. No, I mean jailed, locked up. Boys, these are our maximum security cells. This is where convicted persons are inoculated.
Incarcerated. Inoculated. You like where the doctor gives you a shot?
Shot through the heart, and you're too late, darling. You give love a bad name.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Cappy Fiverr Studios and heard worldwide. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. We are powered by Encore Insurance Services with over 25 million downloads. Heard daily at MikeO'MaraShow.com and exclusively over the air on the mighty 1630 Casa Jaw Jaw in the heart of the heartland. Go Hawks!
How long since you've met someone named Abigail?
It was back in the days when I was at the Continental Congress.
Say hi to Abigail Mack of Iowa City, Iowa, Mike.
Oh, that's wonderful. What's your name?
Abigail Mack.
Abigail Mack. Sounds like it'd be a radio disc jockey.
Or an actress.
In the 1800s. Yeah. Yes, wonderful. The Mike O'Mara Show is a daily podcast and radio show with the greatest listeners on the planet. Why?
Pourquoi?
Because they get it. Our show today brought to you by Harry's Razors. You have done wonders for this campaign, and we are so grateful. And here's the best part about Harry's.com. They give you a phenomenal deal on razors. You're responding to it because it's a great deal. Their razors are better than the razors you can get anywhere else, and they offer them at a fair price. Harry's.com was started by two guys who wanted a better product without having to pay a small fortune to get it. Harry's makes their own blades. They cut out the middleman, so they provide you the best high-quality German blades at a fraction of drugstore costs. They're about half the price of other big brand blades. Now, the starter set, which Rob got, which I got, which Oscar got, it's an amazing deal. For $15, you get a razor, moisturizing shave cream, and three razor blades with free shipping. And these razors, I will tell you, are durable. They're fantastic. And like the listener told me, they're not four of them in each blade. They're five little razors
five
make your face feel smooth. Why are you paying $32 or more for an 8-pack of blades when it's half that price at Harry's? On average, you could save $150 a year on blades just by using Harry's instead of other inferior blades. Go to Harry's.com now, and Harry's will give you $5 off your first purchase. Just type in our code TMOS, that's H-A-R-R-Y-S.com, and enter coupon code TMOS at checkout for this limited time offer and start shaving better today. I have a mantra when it comes to this show,
yes,
and I really do believe that more often than not, and I emphasize more often than not, not all the time, it is really our job to keep it light, stupid. That's what we do. We talk about our pathetic lives. We talk about our pathetic world and our silliness and everything that's coming and going. But I will tell you, every now and then, there's a news story that I am disturbed about, that I get a little obsessed about, and that news story is this ISIS terror going on in Iraq, Syria, and really just blowing up that part of the world, and I cannot avoid it, and I really wanted to discuss it because I don't know if I'm alone right now, but, you know, we went through all that hell with so many Americans coming back, not only in body bags, but with missing body parts when we went into Iraq and Afghanistan and the IEDs, and we've all been through that. And then President Obama pulls us out of Iraq, pulls the troops out of Iraq, and we are happy that we're no longer involved in the country. And it seems like an hour later, this country was being overrun. But it's being overrun by people that I've never seen or heard about this kind of behavior by any war machine, anybody. I mean, you've heard about genocide. You've heard about atrocities. But this is an incredible new level of death and destruction and torture. And I tell you something, as much as we have been through it and everybody's tired of involvement,
I have to say to myself, you know, when you're talking about a group of terrorists in this ISIS organization, this is Islamic militant group that are beheading children and are going into towns where there are religious communities and saying, if you don't convert, we're going to kill you all. You're talking about something, in my opinion, that goes to a different level. I haven't talked about this to you guys off the air. We haven't had a discussion about it, but it's all I'm seeing right now. And now we're doing airstrikes, and we're trying to keep them at bay from these towns. But I'm wondering if you guys have thought about it at all and what your thoughts are on it, because I tell you, I think, what are we in the United States? I know we're not the world's policemen, but it is, you know, when you're talking about genocidal maniacs that are going into towns and killing people, you know, it's kind of weird.
I see where you're coming from, Mike. My personal take, and I have thought about this, and I've had in-depth discussions with my father, and we're on actually different pages. And I think because of his public health and the way that he's seen the world and the way that I've grown up, I've been fortunate because of his sacrifices and this country. I believe that we need to help. I don't think that there is... that I know for sure there's not a single bone in me that wants any other troops to hit the ground. This air assault that we're currently doing, I think, is the most we should do personally, because we had been in that country. And you talk about like religious persecutions and genocide. It's happening all over the world. Right. And that's the damn truth. If you go to Africa, if you look anywhere else, it's happening there. And because we have a footprint in Iraq and we spent so much time there, we get to see it firsthand, and now we're involved again to protect our consulate, protect the people there.
Have you gone online to see or read about
yes.
some of this stuff?
Absolutely. It's terrible. And I guess,
I saw a little girl's body
mm-hmm. yeah.
without a head on it.
Atrocities.
And they were holding up a little girl. Like, I'm talking about a 4 or 5-year-old girl, and she had been beheaded by these bastards going in there. I understand this stuff happens all over the world. Oscar, I think you can make a distinction between some of, you know, there's religious persecution, there's your tribe, my tribe, but then you go to this different homicidal level that these guys seem to be all about. And I look at it from a humanitarian standpoint, but I also look at it as, you know, if we don't stop this, is this going to be something that will become a presence that threatens the United States? I wonder about that.
You mentioned the fact that we are not the world's police, and by any definition, we're not. But we have been doing and involving ourselves in protecting other nations and trying to further what we see as what's right.
Our interests.
Yeah, for hundreds of years.
Well, I mean, when we had the weapons of mass destruction, Rob, you know, we went in and we said, they are representing a threat that they can use these yeah.
right.
to attack the United States with nuclear yes. weapons or biological weapons. And we were all like, okay, that's the justification. Well, now... we're, you know, it's probably something where we say, well, they're not going to be a threat to us really for another few years. Mm. But I'm looking at it more in terms of,
I think
if
the
we can do anything, you got a bunch of people sitting up on a mountain with children starving to death because these bastards are saying, we're going to gun you down and we're going to kill you. It's just, we let it go in Rwanda when right. there was genocide in Rwanda.
Yes.
I look back on that and I read about what we could do, and you see movies made about it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm idealizing the big white horse rescue thing, but I look at that and I say to myself, if we're the big guys with all the power and all the air power and all that, maybe this is a legitimate reason
maybe
to go
we're
in
not,
as opposed to the last time.
Maybe we're not. Look, we're going to help, clearly. The president's made it very clear.
I hope but we help enough to stop
these
bastards.
In a proper way.
Maybe as
way,
a world yeah. power, we don't have what it takes, maybe no one does, to go into a country, train them to take care of themselves, walk away, and then hope that they can take care of themselves.
And they didn't. And obviously yeah. they didn't. We went in
this
and
isn't
we
the
did
first,
train them.
This isn't the first time.
No, we've done this before, and it's been a disaster. That's why when you occupy and when you go in, it is, and I'm not talking about, you know, I don't know yet myself. I don't know about going
in
totality.
Back?
But if you're talking, well, here's the latest I'm hearing on this.
Yes.
The latest I'm hearing about this is the airstrikes aren't really going to cut it. They're not really going to cut it. And I'm not even thinking about whether it would be effective. I'm thinking in the terms of what these people are doing. I've never seen anything like this. Mm-hmm. I thought Al-Qaeda was bad. I thought when we had the insurgency in Iraq and what they were doing to people that they thought might be on one side or another with beheadings and all that. This is a new, this is 2014, man, and we're doing, you want to talk about medieval?
Yeah.
This is beyond medieval. This is this started, I guess, in Syria, and there's this just joy of homicide that I've never seen anything like this, and I don't know. I feel, even though I couldn't probably justify it right now as a direct threat to the United States, I feel more threatened by this than I've ever felt by weapons of mass destruction. I really feel that way.
Do you think the reason you feel threatened is it more of a almost a moral level? That if we, even if this is not in a physical danger to us, but we're aware of it, we're mentally cognizant of what's going on.
I get radical. Rob, I get radical on it. I really do. I look at this and I say to myself, you know, and this is probably as barbaric as anything else, but if people are going into an area and saying, if you don't believe the way I believe, and we want this, our form of religion, to be the to dominate the world,
mm-hmm.
where anybody else that doesn't believe like we believe is going to be killed. I think those people have to be wiped out. I think that they have to, their leadership, their soldiers. I think we have to go all out and go to war with people with that attitude. This is different than what some of the brush fires you see around the world.
I think that you are right. I agree with you with that type of concept, that zero tolerance. But I have to tell you that we all have friends and listeners that have served, that have been over there.
Mm-hmm. We do.
And to think that they would get a call or an order to go back because we didn't do the job right, mm-hmm. or we let something slip through the cracks. F that, man. I couldn't think about that.
And also,
I know, and it's easy for me to say as a 55-year-old guy that would never serve to do that. But at the same time, I just say, you know, is this a battle? If we don't fight this battle, and a lot of people are saying, you know, John McCain, people like that, and John McCain seems to say it all the time, but he's saying it again, that we were late in getting into this. We should have stopped these guys when they came across the Syrian border into Iraq. We should have stopped them right there. And I'm saying now, here's the way I look at it. I understand no boots on the ground. I think if it's determined that these people do represent that kind of a threat where they could actually get to other countries in the region, and they could just, I mean, it looks to me like, here's the picture, Oscar. You probably haven't watched a lot of the History Channel, but Rob, you have. You know when they show that Nazi flag.
Oh, yeah, that bleeds Europe. Yeah,
yeah, and it bleeds out over Europe. I get that same. There's something in me that gets terrified.
Iran isn't going to stand for it. I mean, they're the ones that they probably are shaking in their boots. But if Iraq collapses, I imagine, and they've gone public, that Iran isn't going to stand for that. Like, that's not what they want.
It's such a strange and hateful part of the world. And I don't know. As I said, I don't like to get heavy all the time, and I don't. But I'm more throwing this out for discussion than anything else, because it really has been affecting me.
Will you entertain
really
a question as devil's advocate? I'm just curious. Sure. If we go in there with a zero tolerance policy and wipe out everyone that has this sort of religious fundamental attitude, doesn't that sort of put us at their level?
It does.
If we are protecting a town from a group of people that are going to go in there and commit mass murder and genocide, and you've got a division on the outside, then it's war. Then you're talking about defeating your enemy. I'm not talking about. And when I say wipe out, I know what you mean.
I just want to clarify because
wipe out.
I think in terms of a military offensive. But then again, I think back. Listen, I'm just spitballing right now.
No, I think it's a fair
conversation. As I'm having the discussion, I think about what Oscar's saying, and I realize, you know, we go in to do this and we do put boots on the ground. We're right back where we started, where we're in there. But the people that are coming in and doing this are an occupying army. There are people from other countries that are going into Iraq.
Let modern warfare, the drones, the laser guided missiles, let's do that.
Yeah, well,
you need new business cards then.
You know, maybe it's because I've got a young son right now, and the idea of.
Changes your view, doesn't it?
What the. And I don't want to use any bad words. We're not doing a bonus show right now. But what did What went wrong where you can, how can anybody, I don't care what your background is, how can you be raised and what kind of brainwashing needs to take place where you as a grown man can take a knife and cut the head off a child? What the, I can't, there is nothing within my, within my consciousness that can explain this, and it freaks me out that this group could be not only doing this, but they could be a larger group mm-hmm. that is influencing the entire occupation of an entire country. It pains me. I want to stop it. I want it to go away, and I want us to do something to make it go
away. I'll give
away.
You an example. This just happened yesterday.
Okay.
In D.C., there was a big fight outside someone's home in a crappy neighborhood in the area, right?
Okay.
And they start shooting at each other. The guy shoots up the house of where the fight was taking place.
Okay.
A 2-year-old baby gets shot and killed. Right? I hear that, and we have foreign policy, but we have our own situation here in this country.
But
that
Oscar,
we gotta take care of.
Oscar, that's an isolationist point of view, and to me, that goes so far as to when they're knocking on our door. And if you say that, you know, right now, who's to say, with as small as our planet, and you know how small the planet is.
I think they're going to come after us regardless. I think that that's the case. I think that the fact that
if they're going to come after us, then why don't we weaken them as much as we can?
I agree. But what I'm saying is that once we engage with them, right, I think they're going to come after us before. But now that we've engaged and we're dropping those missiles on there and we have drones over there. Over that mountain, I think now it becomes, okay, how do we hit the U.S.? Now it becomes top of mind. Like, we're not just going to take over this country. Now we got to figure out how we can spend those millions to hit the U.S.
Because we've called attention to ourselves.
Yes.
Hey, you, look at us.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I guess, I'm naive when I think
you're
that,
not naive.
How much hate in the world?
Well, you know what, Mike?
I mean, really,
it's okay to be naive when they're taking a very childish point of view. It's my way or the highway. It is so utterly simplistic in their mind, and I'm guessing. But if you have the mindset where you can kill a child, you have gotten everything reduced to a black and white perspective. I'm not talking racial. I'm just talking about it's one way or it's this way, and there's no gray area in the middle. So somehow they're programmed to think simplistically, and it's scary when something is that simple because oftentimes there is no solution.
And I'm coming off the heels, mind you, of like in my lifetime where – I was after 9/11. I said, "Let's get them. Let's get them." And I was a young guy, and I said, "Let's do this. Let's go after it." We're over a decade after the fact, and we're sitting here. We're in Afghanistan. We've gone to Iraq, and nothing has changed.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how backward people can be. I mean, how much poverty? How much? It's just I don't know. It's very, very sad. And I get a feeling sometimes that we're over here watching our, keeping up with the Kardashians, and we're eating our Cheetos and watching our NFL football. And I just think that we're just sitting back and waiting.
We're
for
also working
the next attack.
And paying taxes and making sure that our infrastructure is in the right place.
Yeah, but it's not going to mean a hill of warm spit when they have that next attack. And that happens. These people, there are millions, billions.
I believe that you're right, but it's inevitable.
There are millions of people out there, and we need to pay more attention.
It can't be inevitable, though.
The NSA came out and said that we thwarted 50 possible attacks. So the NSA and the government are doing their best to thwart these. But if it's a numbers game, eventually something's going to happen. And that's
tragic.
Yeah, but
I think you're when you talk like that, it sounds like the same people that I hear that are going to be the loudest, screaming the loudest if we get another attack as to we didn't do enough, we should have been prepared. And, you know, and I just don't want to have a reactionary foreign policy. I want to just see us get – these people are freaking my ass out. And every time I hear about an airstrike and every time I hear, about an artillery battalion knocked out on the outskirts of one of these Iraqi cities, I say, yeah, go for it. Mm. Go for it. Bring it. Bring it as much as you possibly can to these bastards. Because if they're doing what I read that they're doing, these are not human beings to me. I believe that. I really do. It's horrible. Anyway, thanks for letting us get heavy on that. I apologize, but every now and then I just have to get something off my chest, and I've been worrying about it. And when they talk about executing children, that's a different world to me, and it's a world we need to step up and take care of. We'll take a break. When we come back, another serious discussion, a sign from God that I should quit drinking. We'll be right back.
Cake and cookies.
Your OCD is nothing to be ashamed of.
It's also the depression. There's just a stigma that goes with it.
I don't think so anymore.
Okay, well then I'll wear my freak flag, fly it hot, high.
Yeah, don't be ashamed of your OCD. Be ashamed of the way you talk.
It's the Robin Katie Show. For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com. I'm leaving now.
Katie's voice has not been mechanically altered.
We just speed it up a little bit, Mike.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by our Amazon page. Well, you can tell it's back to school time. The kids are excited. There's a taste of fall in the air, and all the Loudoun County teachers are back from rehab. Bye. Yes, things are gearing up, and luckily you have Amazon.com through the TMOS portal. They've got everything. Backpacks, textbooks, clothes, shoes, spray paint, aquariums. Aquarium paraphernalia, pom-poms, Rubik's cubes, lighters for cool kids, brass knuckles for tough kids, fabulous scarves for the theater students, even self-help books for the nerdiest dweeb in the class of 2015. Amazon has it all, plus Tang. Astronauts drink it.
Astronauts do drink it.
Not to mention wine glasses for the principal, sensible shoes for the cafeteria ladies, and classy lingerie for the hot teacher.
Yeah.
All at MikeOmeraShow.com/Amazon. Whether it's a Kindle, paper, the Fire Foam, digital music, ham glaze, eyeglass repair kits, 20-sided D&D dice, girdles, or a fancy new roll of ribbon. If you need it, Amazon has it. Always open at MikeOmeraShow.com/Amazon. The best way to save money and support the show, bookmark Amazon at MikeOmeraShow.com, and nobody gets hurt. Okay? You get me?
Mike, I was shocked at how many great deals there were on brass knuckles at Amazon.com. And change back. I mean, really, that's the place to go.
Change back from your dollar. Anyway. Welcome back to the show. I'm sorry about that opening, but I had to get it off my chest.
It happens. Well, it was
I'm
that
freaked
and Charlie.
Out by these,
this
the
show
ISIS.
Really brings everything. We had that and we had Charlie.
ISIS bastards. Blow them. And, you know, really, if you want my my real, like, simplified version, blow them out of hell.
Well, you know,
blow them out of hell.
I wasn't going to bring it up while you were rolling, but you realize you were just being Peter Finch there. I want you all to get mad.
I want you to stand up.
Get angry.
I want you to blow them away and say, I'm not going to take it anymore. You were going to say something, Oscar.
I wanted to be very clear. Do not mistake my apathy towards getting into another conflict or getting more involved
right.
to how much I actually care about the subject.
I'm with you.
It really is tragic and it's sad and someone should put a stop to it. But there's a degree of, I think, what we can do without compromising too much.
Yeah.
You know, that's just my thoughts.
The thing that scares me is that I would love it if we could do it all with air power and drones and the magical robots in the sky. But you see the thing that you get, you know, can we hold them off? That can only do so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know what that means. What that guy is saying is that if we really wanted to effect a change or win this thing, but even that doesn't work when you get boots on the ground because they keep sending these effers and I understand also when you say that the people over there have to stand on their own 2 feet and they have to fight these people. But what they're doing is winning with intimidation and with horror and with torture. And
terror,
Oh, God, it's terrible. But we'll see what happens. Over the weekend, I didn't mention this on yesterday's show, in the O'Meara household, I was telling you that I was kind of logy and not really acclimating to the Florida heat. And I just came home after we'd been out for most of the afternoon. And it was PGA Championship time. I'm going to park my ass in my magic little recliner and just spend the afternoon vegging out. And we got home. The baby had just been put down for a nap,
aww.
So he's not around. And Mrs. O'Meara goes into the kitchen. And she goes into the kitchen, and maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes after she goes into the kitchen, I hear this, and I'm not exaggerating. I hear a cash register. Mm. No, dumbass,
no.
You dumb
no,
ass.
I was so excited.
What happened?
I hear this, yes. Hi, I'm Mike, and I'm blind. Thank you very much. Oh! And really, it
did
was
did she
the
drop
sound.
The cash register?
No, she did not drop it.
Okay. Did you guys
look
knock
how,
over?
Look at how happy he is.
Did
look at how happy he is. Look at how happy Run DMC is over there. Jesus.
Did you knock off a 7-Eleven and take the cash register with you?
All right.
He took the penny jar.
Yeah.
You boys are aware.
That's why she had it in the kitchen.
You boys are aware that I have been, you know, modifying my alcohol intake over the last
few months. Woo!
Thank you, Rob.
Come on.
Thank you.
Just say no.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Never felt better. Got the little guy running around. I don't miss it. I don't miss it a hell of a lot. There are moments I miss it. There are moments I don't miss it. It's like anything like that. However, I hear this sound from the kitchen, and after that, it was not 5 seconds. I smell booze. Mrs. O'Mara had taken this little smart water that we have that we got at the Costco yesterday.
Right.
And, or 2 days ago. And Mrs. O'Mara had gone in and put the smart water on this top shelf. Underneath that top shelf.
Like the pantry or?
It's a little pantry cabinet. That's what it is. It's a little pantry cabinet too. tiny little pantry
cabinet.
They have
great sandwiches too.
And I had all my hooch there. Mm. Got your vodkas.
Sure.
Got your different brands of Irish whiskeys.
Ah.
Got a little Glen Melanier.
Now, you don't have the legendary liquor cabinet that you used to have because you put it up for grabs for all of us.
And
we thinned it out.
We thinned out the liquor cabinet, but I, shocker, I had one up there and down here, too.
Oh, I didn't realize. All right.
All I know is I go into the kitchen and I see this shelf at an angle like this.
Oh, downward
and
dog.
There is a sea of brown liquid that is just floating across the floor.
Were you like Belushi when they dropped the bottle of bourbon?
No, but see, the old me, I would have been like, No.
Was it like blood to a vampire in True Blood?
The smell was so pungent of alcohol coming up that I was just kind of like, it's weird because I haven't talked about the process of not drinking, but I don't think about it that much. Mm. I go to social events and I really don't talk about it that much. You guys know that the only place I really talk about it is on this show.
Right.
But if I go out and it's become really, especially with up in Maine when I'm up around, my family and everybody's hooching it up and we're going to a lot of social events.
I thought you had a dry family. That's the impression I got when I was up there. One of my favorite things I took away from the trip to Maine is I said to your cousin Teddy, "Can I get you a beer?" He says, "Of course, because I'm too much of a gentleman to let you drink alone."
My family's got a lot of lines like that. Absolutely. So here's the thing, Carla. This is something where like 3 years ago, Carl and I would have gone completely to pieces. We would have had a knockdown drag out fight. Like, I can't believe you let that happen. Well, did you put something? I didn't do anything. If you didn't have all this move on you, it would have been blame. And really, all it was I guess something shifted when she put the smart water on the top shelf and this thing came crashing down. And I'm talking about shards of glass sparked up and went into Carla's foot.
She was
bleeding when I arrived in the kitchen.
Luckily, the alcohol kept the wound clean.
Well, that's absolutely true. I mean, you've got the alcohol, so you don't have to worry about sterilization.
Of course.
So I said, "Isn't this great?" And then she hit me. No,
this is the place to be.
Hey, the lady will have the spilled booze on the floor and a Coke with no ice. Isn't this great? And so we
rat.
That's the place to go. Yeah. Hey, came over to help you with your math homework. Suddenly I'm doing Damone in my kitchen.
That's right, Damone. And they say that a lot.
Oh, candy.
Jeez.
I'm Mark Ratner. Do you think I could get your phone number, please? Now I'm going to walk away with my hands at my sides.
Yes, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. It's a fantastic movie. Check it out, everybody. It's just a river. It's a river of booze.
Can you
and I don't even know what
how
kind
many
of
bottles broke?
Not many. I think maybe three tops, but it was enough to make, you know, one of them was full and it just was everywhere.
A mess.
And you know what? That's an expensive accident because you drink top shelf liquor.
I don't know if I'm going to be hooching it again anytime soon. Mm. I really don't predict the future, but I will tell you if this is any tell. I was extremely careful with the liquor bottles that were there, and I found myself just, you know, having a little momentary reminiscence of the days that be, you know, with my Middleton's Irish whiskey, some pretty good hooch, Rob.
Yeah.
Pretty decent hooch.
It's nice like stuff. You're a hot ex-girlfriend. Didn't work out so well, but, yeah, you know, it was, you'll think
was
about
cleaning
it once
up
in a while.
And you can shut the door, but don't lock it.
Well, my job to clean up was to take the you know, the full safe bottles and rinse them off in the sink and then put them over to the side, maybe to be consumed on another
and
day.
And then off to the floor with a crazy straw.
Yeah. I was wondering if you could get any kind of a buzz with the fumes, but it went on. But it was a very, like, a 2.5 hour process to get the house back to normal because the entire house smelled of booze. And, you know, at a certain point, Collar says, I've got it under control. I need trash bags and a roaster chicken. So that was my job. Was off to the grocery store. Off to the grocery store. And everything's fine. And we saved many quality Irish whiskeys. And you would think, oh, just throw them away. Can't do that.
No.
Not yet.
Not in
Can't
your
do that.
It's not in your upbringing, Mike.
Nope. Nope. You never know when we're going to have somebody come by the house and want a glass of Irish whiskey. But anyway, we'll take a break.
I was in the neighborhood.
Hey, how are you? It's a read. Is this drinkable? We'll take a break. Come back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show. Sorry. I don't know what happened to me there. The fumes of the alcohol that were splashing around the
Mike,
kitchen.
Mike, Geddy Lee's at the front door and he wants some gin.
Geddy Lee! Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Sleep Number Beds. Thank God none of the booze that exploded in the kitchen seeped into the bedroom getting into my beautiful Sleep Number bed. I would not want that to smell boozy because I love it. It's my friend. It's good to me.
Yes.
I have a great relationship with my Sleep Number bed, and you can too.
Oh, yeah.
And thank you for telling me that you're going to the Sleep Number stores and you're buying your Sleep Number beds, because I guarantee you when you buy your Sleep Number bed, you're going to have a better night's sleep. And if you send me a letter to tell me that, it makes me very happy, and it makes me smile and kiss my wife, and life is good. Me and my Sleep Number bed, we got a thing going on. Yes, we do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Rob wrote that. Anyway, okay. It's a relationship based on restful slumber. Sleep IQ technology is their new thing, and let me tell you what it is. Sensors work with the dual-layer technology inside the bed, and it tracks and it optimizes how you sleep. And there's nothing more important than a good night's sleep. There's nothing to wear, nothing to turn on. All you have to do is sleep. It's that easy. My Sleep Number setting is an 80. Carlos is an 85. One place in the world to find the Sleep Number bed with Sleep IQ technology, and that is a Sleep Number store. Come in right now, where a C2 Queen mattress with Sleep IQ technology starts at just $999.98. And you can know better sleep. Find your Sleep Number setting today at any of the 450 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find one near you by calling this number, 800-511-0061. That number again is 800-511-0061. And don't forget to tell them that Mike O'Mara sent you, or just walk into one when you walk by it, because they're all over the place,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome back to the show. Nice to be with all of you, and nice to know that the booze has been cleaned up in my house, and everything's fine, and we are getting ready for Mr. Oscar Santana, who is leaving for L.A., and besides staying with your sister in Los Angeles, do you have any other exciting plans besides effing Legoland?
Oh, come on.
You really should go to Universal Studios.
I spoke with my sister
briefly
yesterday.
Why does it have to be an amusement park, for Christ's sake?
Before it was an amusement park, Universal Studios still has the original Psycho House, and to see that set is a big deal to me.
You know what? How about going to something that was not created, a man-made creation?
All right, go to the Grand Canyon.
I'm not talking about the Grand Canyon. How about going around, tooling around Beverly Hills?
That was
like
all
that.
Made by men?
I know. You know what I'm talking about. Just a fake, phony amusement park.
There's something weird going on where I want to go to Los Angeles and take care of some business.
Sure, TCB.
But also enjoy Los Angeles the way I remember enjoying it.
Yeah, baby.
My sister is ruining that for
now,
that.
Now, give me your version. Mike, now it's time for a new edition of Oscar Santana's Los
Angeles. He wants to go out, meet a friend who's a single guy, go out and go to a trendy restaurant, and then go clubbing.
I want four nights at the Roosevelt, how I usually roll. I want that. Yes. I want to go to
Tell me, for people that don't know, I don't know. Yes. Tell me about the Roosevelt.
It's on the Sunset Strip. Right there. You're in front of
Sunset Boulevard, baby.
You're in front of you're at the epicenter of Hollywood, right? You're right there. And the pool there in the summer is packed with celebrities. People go and they just go to that pool.
What quality of celebrity?
A-list celebrities.
Like name
B-list one. Celebrities. The last time I was there, Vin Diesel was there one time I was there.
Ah, there you go. He is Groot.
And the girls.
Do you want your check to your yacht?
Some Euro trash, clearly, because they figured it out. And the young ladies that are there, just looking this time, clearly, are of a caliber. Like they
I will agree, Oscar, my time in Los Angeles, you will back me up on this, that L.A. is a, and this is why it is nirvana for you, it is a completely different standard of body type. It is a different standard of hottie. Yeah. It is a different standard of guys.
Of douchebaggery.
Douchebaggery. It's the beautiful people. Are you going to be able to enjoy any of this lifestyle when you're out there because you're staying in your sister's house?
Again, there was a weird part of me that wanted to tell my sister I was coming in on Saturday, and I should have done that. I should have done that because she mentioned to me, as soon as I started talking to her about this trip, she goes, can you send me your itinerary? And I said, well, what do you mean? She goes, well, I know that you have the shows in the morning.
Right.
Then you have a couple lunch meetings and then a couple.
If you went in, if you said you were coming in on Saturday, that would mean one night with your sister.
Yeah, like you stopped by on the way through
town.
You
wanted to come in. You wanted to leave on Wednesday after we do the show, get out there and spend all day Thursday, Friday, and then just say, oh, I just got into town. Yes. So in other words, you don't even want to visit your family.
No, I do, but I didn't realize I had so much to do on that coast anyways.
And she's maybe just a little bit of a nudge.
Oh, no, she's high maintenance. I forgot how high maintenance she was. When I went to Pittsburgh, God willing, I'd get away for 30 minutes and, you know, have some quiet time.
Sure.
And I want to see the kids, and I love my sister's family, and I care for my sister. She's like a second mom to me. But I got to tell you, like, when she asked me for a breakdown of when I was going to be available, I felt like it was another job.
Really? Okay, yes. So now you are, in fairness to Oscar, he is doing some work for our show when he's out there, which is good stuff. So your day will be occupied with a little of that.
Yeah.
But you like that. You like being Mr. Businessman.
I'd rather be, but see, oh my God, how do I put this?
And by the way, Oscar is going to be broadcasting from L.A. Thursday and Friday. We are, it's very exciting for me that the show is evolving into this thing.
And bi-coastal, Mike, now.
Where we can actually do the shows everywhere. This is going to be, hopefully, Oscar, I hope I'm not overselling it, this is going to be better audio quality than we've ever gotten from a road show. This is going to be a lot of fun.
We shall
the content will still suck, but the fidelity
will be
wonderful. Suck, right? If you're having a hard time forming your thought, Oscar, think it in Spanish and then say it in English.
I'm not having a hard time. I'm having a hard time with, it's really, these two worlds are colliding. And they're not liking each other at all.
So she's wanting in a total itinerary. Meanwhile, in your head, you're just thinking, go,
go, go, go. Yeah, let's sign some deals. Let's build some relationships.
Oh, look, it's Oscar's sister.
No,
you're
Oscar's sister. It's a girl at the club, dumbass. Come on.
I didn't know how you were going with it.
Okay. Well,
you're both
up.
Lovely.
I was doing that. Hi, what's your name? Hi. My name's Tiffany.
Pleasure.
That's
great. That's quite a top.
Would you like to go up to the VIP lounge? Yeah, my friends are all up here. We're all aspiring actresses.
Jesus. That is a VIP room.
Tiffany. You just met.
And I'd like to apologize. That's certainly not Oscar's sister.
No.
God, Oscar.
So I tell my sister, hey, we have the show at, 7:30 in the morning, whatever it's going to be, right?
You know what, sister? I forget. What's her name?
Tatiana.
Tatiana. The show starts at about 7:30, 7:40, and goes until, 6 p.m. So what?
Your schedule for doing the show would certainly put a crimp in that lifestyle, too.
That's fine. It's 2 days, right?
You get Friday night.
I get that, but they're probably going to do something lame. And I said,
not Lego Land.
God bless them. But
hey, this is the same sister that came out to the Hofbrau House in Pittsburgh.
You know what?
When
she
we were
did.
There,
she
they
did.
Supported you with the show.
I wanted to do a listener meetup on Friday night, and she's trying to thwart that.
Really? Maybe you know if she's at the meetup, get more people.
Yeah,
you
I would actually.
To meet her.
She'd judge me the entire. Are you drinking too much? Is that another Jack and Diet? Yeah, that's the bit.
That's a good bit.
Now, does she police you? How much older is this sister than you?
She's the oldest. She is 6 years older than me.
So very similar to my sister and me.
Yeah,
I
she'd
can understand
probably be,
that.
She'd be cool. Maybe they can go eat next door and I can do the meetup next.
Well, if you're going to do a meet and greet, it might be a real good idea to let the people know today.
Hey, I'm feeling out my host. I'm trying to see if I have Friday night free.
Now, Mike said that your age difference is very similar to him and his sister. Does Tatiana have a dryer?
But this is what she gives me. She's like, so what time's the show? I said 7:30. She goes, oh, that's when the kids are getting ready for school. And I said, and? And she said, I said, well... I said, so you're saying I can't do the show? Like, what's the situation?
Yeah, what's the correlation?
And she said, oh, I just didn't know if you like wanted to like have breakfast with us. I said, I'm working, lady. This is Thursday and Friday. All right? I can see them when they get home from school.
Do you have you mapped it out even to the logistical point where you know where you're going to be doing it in the house?
I said, where's the router? She said, in the living room. I said, okay, that's my studio. I need that for an hour and a half.
He's going to plug right into the
router. No cartoons, no anything.
Well, they're
just
going
me
to school.
Doing the yucks.
That's fine. Or do you think Tatiana would be watching cartoons?
No. She won't. She wouldn't.
Will we be able to get some of those cute kids
the little
on
rascals?
The show?
I'm sure.
We could roll a little early because, you know, they're busy. They're L.A. kids. They're going to school and they got things to do.
They're not going to school. Are they back at school?
They start school on Monday.
See, the kids down here in Florida start school too next week.
Those that haven't dropped out yet.
But seriously, Rob, when do the kids go back to school in Virginia?
I think it is the day after Labor Day in Loudoun County. But a lot of
Loudoun County is like the best analogy. I think it's Halloween. That's when the kids go to school. They go to they go to school Halloween.
In Loudoun County, we don't focus on education or anything that's important. So I mean, it's no big deal. A lot of counties around the country are going to a 6 week summer break with longer breaks built into the school year. I know Jason Veazey's kids have gone to school, or kids that live with Jason Veazey or something. He posted something about the first day of school. So,
hi,
I mean,
Jason.
Hi, Jason. Things are changing all around the nation.
Yeah, I think it's a little early. Virginia is trying to change that King's Dominion law where you go later.
It is the King's Dominion law. That's what it's called in Parliament, Mike. It's called the King's Dominion law.
Well, Labor Day, I think, is becoming almost unheard of where kids go to school after Labor Day. It just doesn't happen that much anymore. I seem to remember when I was going to school, it might have been like always after Labor Day.
Labor Day
was the reason they called it Labor Day weekend.
Oh, yeah.
It was the last 3-day weekend of the summer. That's the way
it goes.
And you had to count down the top 500 hits of all time.
It's funny that, Oscar, what's funny to me is that you're finessing your sister and you don't know yet. That's funny because you don't know whether you will be. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
This is what I'm understanding. You're hoping for the either Saturday night or Friday night, you're hoping for the 100% free pass.
Oh, yeah.
Are you right about
that?
Oh,
yeah. And every time I'm like, hey, look, this thing on Friday may take me through the evening, I get, is that something that we can come to? And I said,
a business lunch?
She wanted to go to all the business lunches.
Yeah, Tatiana can help close the deal.
No, he's talking about a dinner with his friends or
I know.
A meet and greet.
He's not talking about a
business lunch.
Yeah.
When she says, I've got this whole thing figured out, even though I know the principal's very, you know, I don't know your sister that well.
Mm-hmm.
But what she's doing, see, this for her, she's in a new place. Out there in L.A.,
yeah, she
she's
wants
probably
me
had
to
some
hang.
Fun,
yeah.
But she wants to have a little fun. And
yes.
She knows that you, the younger brother, you bring a little fun to the equation.
This is what I get. And again, it's my fault because I was trying to merge these worlds together.
Sure.
I get,
worlds collide.
I'm meeting up with my old program director from K-Rock, right? So I'm having drinks with them.
Okay.
And then I'm another guy I used to work with that works for a record label out there. We're having lunch. I'm seeing my old friends.
Drone
now,
Records.
Will the old PD be a guy that would he's more just like a friendly guy? That wouldn't be a whole night of partying.
It's
right?
not an agency. But again, you don't want to go and if they're like, hey,
Saying the PD guy, would this be a guy where you could roll? Is the relationship such that maybe
you could go somewhere else and
roll with the guy?
I'm going to go meet Chris Martin from Coldplay, by the way. Do you want to come? That's the stuff that could happen.
Okay, that's
And I don't want to look at my watch and then be like, oh, I got to go hang out with my sister.
Right.
I mean, I can hang out with her anytime.
Movie night at the house.
I have a solution for you. If you do a meet and greet.
Yes.
You would be able to bring the sister to
I can't,
the meet and
she
greet.
Is fun. Don't get me wrong. She is fun. It's just getting there that's not fun. Like, yeah, getting,
but she's
that
got
situation.
The kids. Would they get a sitter?
They'd have to.
Your brother-in-law and your sister would be out there.
Would it be totally out of the question for you to sit the kids and they could just have a meet and greet? Your sister and her brother.
Oh, a proxy?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, that could be possible.
Is it possible that by tomorrow's show you will be able to, and we're taping this show on Monday, by the way, so this is the Tuesday show.
By
is it
Wednesday
possible
show.
By Wednesday we
I'll
will be able to
an
have
answer.
An announcement?
I have
do
a production meeting with both her husband and my brother-in-law and her tonight.
I would, but just, folks, if you're getting ready, if you're in the greater Los Angeles area, pencil in Friday night at Spago.
No. No, it'll probably be drinks on the Sunset Strip. It'll be nice.
You love LA, don't you?
Oh, he does. You're
and LA I don't know guy. If my brother-in-law has been to the Body Shop, and if we get hammered enough, I'd love to take him
but
there.
But isn't that where you almost got killed one night?
Yes, but I was young and poor.
Hey, boys.
Hi, Tiffany.
You want some melon balls? Want to do some melon ball shooters? How would you like some melon ball shooters? How about a Singapore sling?
How much are the shooters, Tiffany?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my skirt is so short.
It is.
It's so badly short. Look at it. I'm a bad girl. I'm a bad girl.
Oh, okay. No.
Oscar, you should introduce Tiffany to your sister.
Kamikaze shooters. Do they still do kamikazes, Oscar? Do they
I'm
still
sure
do
they
kamikazes?
Do. Mind fun. Erasers.
Mind erasers.
Can I tell you a story?
Yeah.
There once was a girl named Amber who had a real skill at...
Interesting.
You know what? You Sorry, stay away from Tiffany. That will do you no good.
It's Amber, Rob. It's not Tiffany. It's
I get,
Amber.
I get their twins and I get them confused.
Now, you Tiffany guys, you're messing with me because I was like, okay, if I can pull this off, then I'll have Corleone come up from Phoenix.
Now, there's
so he can
right there.
He can drive up.
That's dangerous.
He'll get a room at the Roosevelt. Worst case scenario, I crash one night out, right? No big deal.
Sure.
I crash outside of La Casa.
When you say
crash,
this
is the honest Oscar
sleep,
right here. You're getting the real story here. I know because really he's a mini me in a lot of ways, and I would be doing that too.
I'm really surprised Mike isn't looking for airfare right now.
Oh boy. Yeah, sure. Hey, how you doing? Hey. I'm a producer. Yeah, I'm a producer, you know. And drink enough like at happy hour where I do the dialect all night long.
Hi,
sweet. Sweetheart, how are you?
You
nice
call
to see
all
you.
Of them garbage cans.
Yeah, hey, you look like a lovely little garbage can. Why don't you come over here? Yeah, fantastic. All right, I hate to ask, but I have to. I have to ask you this right now.
Yeah.
How does Mrs. Santana feel about this? How is Shannon, handling
Look,
your trip out to LA?
Gentlemen, she
knows you're going?
She understands that this job and my family come with a price, right? And
what a BS.
And such when we initially were booking this trip, you know, the trip out to Los Angeles is pretty pricey. It's expensive. We're talking about like almost $700 in airfare. And I booked it 3 months ago, right?
Amazing. And you're sitting by the toilet, too. A lot of people for $700
yeah,
sitting
yeah,
by the
tough.
Toilet.
Yeah.
What airline are you flying?
Southwest, baby, the cattle call.
Oh, God.
You love Southwest.
Yeah, you know.
God, he loves Southwest. I can't imagine Southwest all the way out to L.A.
Yeah, it was great going to Vegas.
That's one thing where I have to modify my lifestyle, but I have trouble with that. You know, a transcontinental flight, flying from D.C. out all the way to L.A. would be, you know, sitting next to a Southwest. Hey, smells like peanut farts on this plane.
I've really only flown, the only other airlines I've flown have been to international ones, to like American to Punta Cana.
Yeah, and
then
that's
Eastern,
ironic, isn't
Eastern
it?
Airlines to Bolivia. So
Eastern.
How about Virgin? How about Virgin?
Never flown.
Oh, Virgin LA is great.
Virgin great. LA, man. You should have looked into that one. That would have been.
Well, gentlemen, I used some points. That's all I had.
Are we living vicariously through it right now?
Should I think we are. I think
Who wants to go to LA?
I do.
I do want to. I want to take them to a super nice restaurant because they're Chiselers.
Yeah.
My sister and brother-in-law.
They're Chiselers? I thought really? They made... Why'd they move out there anyway?
They make great money, but I know there's no way they've been to like a really, really nice restaurant yet.
I think he might be misusing the word Chiseler.
They're cheap.
Okay.
They're not going to...
Well, Chiseler is somebody who cheats you, right?
Yeah, I think it's a crooked guy.
Well,
they're chintzy is what they are.
Okay, they're chintzy, right?
Parsimonious.
So they're chintzy, and I want to take them to a nice restaurant, and I want them to enjoy the food so much that my brother-in-law will be like, you know what? I got this.
Ah. Yeah, there's an easy... Incidentally, here's Mike O'Mara's easy formula for Los Angeles restaurants that are classy, all right?
Yeah.
All you have to do has to have four letters and end in a vowel. If you have four letters and end in a vowel, you're all set to go.
Nice.
100%. So right.
Yes, love it.
Well, safe trip, and Wednesday, the big announcement. Tomorrow, the big announcement. Yes. Whether or not Oscar is doing a meet and greet, mm-hmm. and whether he's going to get permission from his sister.
Will you have a location for us on Wednesday?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Great.
We'll take a break. Come back with news. Stupid news. Replacing news you may not need today on the Mike O'Mara Show. That's coming up next. Stay with us, everybody.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Omeracast.
I'll have what she's having.
She's having Omeracast every Monday on iTunes, Stitcher, or at MikeOmeraShow.com. Omeracast, part of More Broadcasting.
That's a short quickie from Marcus Serta. Way to go, Marcus.
Yeah, that's what we call a shotgun promo.
She's having Omeracast.
Hey, Mike, have you ever checked your podcast app and seen that a new Omeracast is available today?
Thank you, Rob. Welcome back to the show, brought to you by Stamps.com. Listen to these wonderful words. Quick, convenient, easy to use.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's not one word. Easy to use is a phrase, isn't it? Really?
If you hyphenate it, it's a word.
Easy to use.
Yes.
Nice. That's another word.
Nice.
Yes. That's another word. Well, that's exactly how I describe stamps.com. It's how I describe it every time. So quick, convenient, and easy to use. It'll make your mailing and shipping a breeze. With stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package. They even send you a digital scale that automatically calculates exact postage. Stamps.com also helps you choose the best class of mail to get your stuff delivered on time for the least amount of money. Then drop it into any mailbox or hand it to your mailman, and you are done. Trust me, mailing and shipping has never been easier, and you'll never have to go to the post office ever again. We love stamps.com at the Mike O'Mara Show. Act now for a 30-day free, no-risk trial and $110 bonus offer, including free digital scale and up to $55 in free postage. Just go to stamps.com and click on the microphone and use our secret code TMOS. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in TMOS. Stamps.com and TMOS, and we thank you in advance, everybody.
From around the globe, across the nation, looking through your neighbor's window, the Mike O'Mara Show now presents News You May Not Need.
Or Stupid News.
A comprehensive look at the stories you may or may not be talking about during your daily activity. And now,
Stupid News. Thank you.
I like
doing it that way.
Stupid News.
Stupid News. Paging Mr. Herman. Paging Mr. Herman.
P.W. Herman.
A Massachusetts homeowner was arrested on Monday for open and gross lewdness.
Ooh.
Oh.
Isn't that a great charge? Don't you love that? You know, the best thing about doing these newscasts now is the charges that you find in the different jurisdictions.
You know what is a great charge as well? I like to charge mayhem. When someone is
mayhem.
Guilty,
mayhem.
That's a good one.
Mayhem is that encompasses so many different things. Anyway, this guy was open and grossly lewd after passing motorists saw him with a leaf blower in his hands doing yard work in the nude.
Oh, pony.
As Richard Capra worked on the curb appeal of his Shrewsbury home, several vehicles were slowing down, taking photographs, according to the Shrewsbury Police Department.
Shrewsbury.
Responding to it. Well, you know Shrewsbury. It's where all the women yell really loud.
Loud, mean little guys.
Taming of the Shrew. Responding to 911 calls, Officer Timothy Charland spotted Capra completely nude, blowing off his driveway with a leaf blower. Capra was intoxicated, and
yes,
he was belligerent towards police when questioned. Capra, arrested on a misdemeanor charge, was later released from custody after posting $500 bail. You know, depending on how effed up you are,
yeah,
that's got to be a pretty bummer walk back home to your neighbor.
Well, I hope they let him get dressed.
He is scheduled for an August 15th appearance at Westboro District Court. Future arrestees will be happy to learn that Capra was issued clothing prior to being placed in the Shrewsbury police car.
Now, I'm wondering, when you pick him up, there is a more comical way than another to hold the leaf blower when you're using it in the nude.
Yeah, I bet, you know, I bet
now,
he was
do you
doing
think
it that
he
way.
Was using it that way?
Like it's a big wiener.
Yeah,
I bet
think
he was.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mike, for
a
keeping it clean.
Texas man who could face years in prison for making brownies laced with marijuana and hash oil said Wednesday he remains scared despite new evidence that his attorney believes should reduce the charges. A handful of pot legalization supporters welcomed Jacob Lavoro as he entered a Williamson County courthouse near Austin for the second time since his April arrest. He is accused of selling the brownies for $25 and is facing a felony charge that carries a stiff penalty ranging from 5 years to life in prison.
Wow. No ice cream with that brownie?
His attorney told reporters after a brief hearing that new lab results show there was only 2.5 grams of marijuana's psychoactive ingredient THC in the brownies. Authorities have also said there was a separate jar that had 145 grams of hash oil.
Wow.
This guy likes his weed.
Now, how much are they saying is 2.5 per brownie? Is that a lot? Is that not a lot?
In Colorado, where recreational marijuana is now legal, edible products are required to be easily divided into servings of 10 milligrams of THC,
okay.
Which 10 milligrams is about the size of a medium joint.
Okay. I always thought that with those baked goods, it would be tough because if you don't stir it right, one brownie could have a lot of stuff
true.
In it, and one could not have very much at all.
True.
Well, there's a quote from Lavoro, the guy that was arrested.
Yes.
You ready for that? He says, "I'm scared. I'm 19 years old, and I still have a whole life ahead of me. Take that into account."
Yeah.
Okay? Take the 145 grams of hash oil off your mantle,
wow.
dude.
Yeah, off his mantle. I love the thought of it on his mantle. I think
mantle.
That's nice, yeah.
With grandma knitting over in the corner, and he's got the hash oil right over there. Vermont State Police say a toddler found a loaded handgun in her diaper bag at a daycare center in northern Vermont. Wow. Marcus Serta. Marcus.
Grandchild.
Police say the grandmother of the 17-month-old girl was dropping off the toddler at daycare in BB Plain on Thursday when she forgot the gun was in the bag.
Have God you ever forgotten? Have you ever forgotten to take the safety off your handgun?
Oh, wow, man. The daycare center known as Chad Duke's Daycare.
No, it's not
was,
called
no,
that.
I'm sorry.
The
daycare
you.
The daycare owner told authorities the child found the gun in the bag, took it out, and started walking around with it. Oh,
wow.
My God.
Chad Duke's daycare, their motto, Mike, child care at a higher caliber.
The daycare notified the parents and the Vermont Department of Children and Families. The department worker told police the grandmother placed the gun in the bag as she was leaving the house in a hurry.
That's
oh,
great.
You always want to make sure you get, bring your gun with you.
Yeah.
A safety lock
like
strap.
It's grandma's handgun.
And here's the part Oscar will like. A safety lock strap prevented the gun from
yeah.
being
responsible
fired.
Gun owner.
Responsible gun owner.
That's
ownership.
Right.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
way to go, mother.
Grandma's yeah. up at the dunes riding her buggy like in a Napoleon Dynamite. It's a hip grandma.
Fix yourself a quesadilla. A Canadian man who was stuck inside of a clothing donation bin for about 3 hours apparently didn't have time to locate a pair of pants himself. After the authorities let him out of this donation bin, they discovered that he didn't have any pants on. He was found in the Developmental Disabilities Association clothing bin. And he was wearing only
Charlie
a shirt.
Durang Stabilek.
Let me out.
Charlie.
Let me out.
What are you doing in there?
Let me out. Let me out.
He was wearing only a shirt and boxer shorts.
True story. I didn't even know you were going to.
Yes.
I was in Manassas filling up, and there's a big like Planet Clothes bin.
Yeah, yeah.
Cartoon size. It's the biggest one I've ever seen. I
right.
think there's someone living in that bin. Because
well,
I hear noises coming out of it. It's not an animal noise. I feel like there's someone just, they've put up shop in there.
Wow.
Well, it's warm. It'd be very warm, right? You could just get in there and snuggle in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And every day people bring you stuff.
Here's some new shoes.
The man reportedly did, this is the gross part.
Oh,
oh no. The man reportedly did hundreds of dollars worth of damage to the bin.
Oh.
There's only one way that could have happened.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's peeing where he sleeps,
yeah.
probably.
Oh, no.
There's a new navigation app called Sketch Factor that's designed to help you avoid sketchy neighborhoods. Naturally, people think it's racist, and usually that alone would be enough to get a bunch of publicity. But it got an even bigger jolt on Friday because it was totally right. A local CBS News team. This happened in our backyard.
Yeah.
Channel 9 went out
Channel
there.
Channel 9
yeah.
did it, yep.
The reporter was interviewing people, asked him how they felt about the whole thing, and as he interviewed him, he was robbed.
They were in Petworth.
Oh, now, where is Petworth? God.
It's right, I mean, it's, I would say, 5 miles from here, but every time I tell someone Petworth is still up and coming, they're like, oh, how dare you say something like that? I said, no, it hasn't gentrified yet.
Petworth is where I buy all of Linus's toys, I thought. It's a store, isn't it?
As the reporter did the interview, the news van got broken into, some thieves stole equipment, an iPad and an iPhone. Gee, how's that? Clothes and more from the reporter and intern and the cameraman. The intern used the Find My Phone feature to track down where the thieves had gone with the stuff. The news crew tracked it to a dumpster where they found some of the stuff, but thousands of dollars worth of the gear is still missing. So that's truly, truly amazing.
Yeah, but the app works.
The app does work.
It does work.
Hit for them.
The police in Nassau County, New York, are looking for a guy who's been robbing banks in a wide variety of areas wearing stupid hats. He's robbed 8 banks this summer and worn 6 different hats.
Is it that golfer Fowler?
It's Ricky Fowler.
It's Ricky Fowler.
Here are the hats. A large floppy white hat, a baseball cap with a picture of President Obama on it, a black do-rag, a Dallas Cowboys cap, a floppy hat with leopard print, and a hat with a long fake mullet wig attached.
That sounds like a good hat.
Police are still trying to track him down. He's described as a 6-foot-tall black guy in his late 30s or 40s. If you know a guy that matches that description on Long Island with bad taste in hats, they're offering a $5,000 reward. Good luck with that. And now, a little something-something. A guy online just shared a bizarre story, and we can't prove it's true, but how could someone make this up? He said when he was 14, he would take care of himself at least a few times a day, and instead of cleaning afterwards with, you know, towel, tissue, whatever, it would just be on the carpet. But it blended in, so his parents never knew. The family cat was about 18 years old at the time, and he was having some trouble controlling his bladder. The guy's dad wanted to see how much bladder damage the cat had been doing around the house, so he took out a black light to look for stains.
Oh, no.
He goes into the son's room, looks at the carpet, and he found tons of stains on the kid's carpet. He thought it was cat pee, and the cat's incontinence was way worse than he'd imagined, so he put the cat down.
Oh, no.
Oh, self-control.
The guy says this is the first time he's ever told the story, and the family cat death has been weighing on his conscience for years. To hell with the conscience, I'm worried about what's been weighing on that carpet. We got to take a break. We'll come back with the Audio Vault. Rob Spiewak, you are listening to the Mike O'Meara Show, and I'm talking up a Paul McCartney record, everybody! Said farewell to the last
hotel and have one... Carla O'Meara here.
Oh.
You know what I was just thinking about? Yeah, you guessed it. What am I always thinking about? Rob Spiewak. He's so much easier to talk to than those other guys on the show. I think it's his approachability that makes him so special. Why not approach Rob with a letter for the mailbag? Send your message to rob@mikeomarashow.com. That's Rob with 2 B's. The extra B stands for bag. Some of us might get into trouble if we talk to Rob, but you can do it again and again and again with your fingers, a keyboard, and a willingness to let yourself go.
Well done.
God, I hate nepotism. I hate nepotism.
Hey, you want to do an audio vault, or can we just listen to that again?
That was like an Ashley Madison ad.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. Brought to you by NatureBox. I'm going to say something that's going to surprise you. You ready for this?
Yeah.
You should be snacking more.
Oh, yeah.
You should be snacking more. You need to be snacking more. What's wrong with you, Mike, you idiot? How can you tell me to snack more? I'm going to get fat. Not so, Buffalo Breath. Here's why. We've discovered NatureBox.com. NatureBox provides hundreds of delicious snacks, and I do mean delicious. Plus, you don't feel guilty about eating them. They are better for you. They're natural with zero trans fat and zero high fructose corn syrup. You'll even find snacks that are low on sugar, non-GMO, and hey, we were talking about it on one of the other shows, gluten-free.
There you go.
With free shipping. You know that cranky moment around 3 p.m. when you really want to tear into anything?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Here's what you do. Grab some PB&J granola from Nature Box, or baked sweet potato fries, or sweet blueberry almonds. No more hunger, no more crankiness. Now I'm going to make you really happy. Ready? If you try NatureBox.com right now, you're going to get 50% off your first box. Just go to NatureBox.com/TMOS. You should be snacking, but you have to snack smarter. Stay full, stay strong. Go to NatureBox.com/TMOS to get 50% off your first box. NatureBox.com/TMOS and yum, yum, yum. That's the better way to snack. We appreciate that. Without further ado, let's open up the audio vault for today. This is Tuesday, August 12, 2014. Rob Spiewak.
I love kids that are well-spoken and, you know, can, like, make eye contact with you and communicate with you.
Yes.
And Manners. This is an amazing child. His name is James Barney. He was in Florida. He is in Florida. He's 9 years old. He was attacked by an alligator when he was swimming. He actually got a tooth embedded in his skin.
Whoa.
So, I mean, this kid cheated death. Listen to how he handles the interview after the fact. An adult couldn't do it this well.
Yeah, I went for a swim yesterday, and it really amazed me what happened. At first, I thought someone was just playing with me, and I didn't know what happened. I reached down to go grab it, and I felt its jaw, I felt its teeth, and I didn't know what to do. So I immediately reacted and hit it a couple times. So then it was letting go a little. And then finally, I had enough strength left to pry its jaw open a little. Then it finally let go of me, and I swam to shore while yelling help. And then finally, some people came over and pulled me in. They said, "Hey, what's this?" And they pulled out a tooth and showed it to me, and I said, "Oh, well, I want to put it on a necklace so then I could tell all my friends."
Are you going to go swimming in that lake again?
Negative.
Isn't that great?
Spectacular.
So great.
Great
oh,
kid.
I love it.
At
oh,
9 years
kids.
Old, and I'm so glad he's okay. That's scary.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Great audio.
We mentioned in the last episode of this program, like, David Arquette. And remember a few years ago when he made a big deal that even though he was opening nightclubs and living on the nightlife, he was staying sober?
Yes.
He's not sober anymore. Not anymore.
You're very involved in the nightlife scene, which I find so fun. I love Bootsy Bellows.
Thank you.
How hard is it to promote nightlife and also remain sober?
Well, I'm not sober.
Okay.
But it's very hard to. That's probably why I'm not. But, you know, it's hard. It's hard if you want to be sober at the nightlife. Good luck. I mean, go to a lot of meetings.
Wow. You know, at least he's being honest.
Yeah. That's true.
I hate to use that as a justification.
He wasn't mad at her and were freaking right. out. He just said, look, it didn't work out.
They've come out with a new edition recently in the last few months of the Forrest Gump movie on the DVD, Mike. And they include one of the early screen tests. And I don't know if this is a Tom Hanks screen test, or a Robin Wright screen test. They were not specific. But listen to how different early in production he played Forrest Gump. He doesn't have the accent, and he just doesn't seem as touched in the head.
Action.
Forrest? Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
I brought you something.
Thank you.
I ate some. Mama sent me $10, and I'd like to spend it all on you.
Come on, look, come over here. Let's sit down and talk for a second. We're good friends, aren't we?
Oh, well, you're my most special friend.
Hey.
Do you think the movie would have been the same if he had played it less broad?
Do you think he was purposefully not doing it? They just didn't feel like it for the screen test? Or
I don't know. I think for a screen test, especially if he's set for the part, I mean, if he's
weird.
Auditioning, he's got
to
do it.
Weird
it really,
to hear it.
It creeps me out.
It creeps me out, and I have no idea why it
Well,
does,
because
it
he went full retard.
He truly did, Oscar. Well point. Well put, I should say.
Right?
My mother would hate you for
well,
saying
Well, I don't,
that,
you know,
Oscar.
I don't mean, you know.
You're quoting the movie.
Yeah, I'm just yeah, quoting the movie.
That word.
But, yes, but I think that has to be.
I'm supposed to hate it, too, until you do that.
I think it has to be something that he chose, because if he's auditioning, that's what he thinks is best. And if they're auditioning Robin Wright, they're doing it in the way that, you know, they should be playing
yeah,
off of.
I can
so
see that.
Yeah.
There you go.
I was surprised you didn't go full RT as well.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you for keeping it classy.
Come on. And you know what? Thunder.
Today is Tuesday, right? And you know what that means. It's the day that they send out the most sexts.
I just saw a new survey found that late Tuesday morning is the most popular time of the week to send a sext. And the latest story, Tuesday afternoon is the most popular time to text. Oh, my God, that was meant for someone else. I'm sorry. Mom, don't read that.
That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
We got to get out of here. This concludes our broadcast day, but dry your eyes. It's not goodbye. Just so long. You can always write us a letter. Send it to TMOS, P.O. Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177. And you can also email all technical queries to ponyboy@michaelmaraschow.com. If you'd like to be a part of the legendarily popular Thursday mailbag segment, drop a line to the jolly one, rob@michaelmaraschow.com. And remember, the official e-voice line remains 800-440-8167. Open all the time. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Now that the show's over, remember to go to naturebox.com and order great-tasting, healthy snacks at 50% off. Snack smarter in the new year with healthy and delicious treats like French toast granola. Support this podcast and get 50% off your first order. Go to naturebox.com and use promo code TMOS. That's naturebox.com, promo code TMOS.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.